Welcome to Bouncing Back Stronger, the podcast where we explore the incredible power of you. Resilience, personal growth, and triumph over adversity. I'm your host, Sarah Jane Vasquez, and I'm thrilled to have you here. Each week, we'll delve into inspiring personal stories, we'll share practical strategies for growth, and provide valuable insights from my own expert experience and as a trained therapist, hypnotherapist, and mindset coach. Get ready to be inspired, motivated, and equipped with the tools to bounce back stronger than ever before. And if you enjoy the show, please press follow. We'd really appreciate your help and your support here at Bouncing Back Stronger. Now, let's get started. Okay, let's go. Welcome to Bouncing Back Stronger. And today I am pleased to welcome Sonia Mackay to the arena. And Sonia is a coach working with single child women, but she didn't always coach. Did you, Sonia? Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me. Glad to be here.
Absolute
and to answer
joy.
Your question, no, I was not always a coach. I actually was a corporate girl for a number of years before I stepped into my own business full time. I was in the oil and gas industry.
That's right. I guess, you know, for me, it wasn't just any corporate career, Sonia. It was in the oil and gas. And to me, not that I know very much about it, it's a very male industry.
Oh, yes. Very patriarchal. Mm-hmm. Many things have not changed. I talked to someone maybe a year or two ago about their experience, and their experience was very much like my experience was 20 years ago.
Wow.
Like not much had changed at all. It was so shocking. And I could tell you a number of stories. I had my own Me Too moment where I experienced sexual harassment at the hands of my boss's boss.
Wow.
I can tell you about every performance review I had where they told me I was too direct and too assertive. And basically I needed to dial it down a bit.
Let me pause you there. Let's have a little discussion about them, shall we? So, you know, the harassment, did you report that at the time?
You know, I did, not right away, because it was scary. It was scary. I was young. I was in my 20s. This was a good company, a Fortune global top 10 company. I had worked hard for this, gone to school, gotten my degree, did what my parents told me to do, get an education and get a good job. Here it was. And this is what I was being faced with, you know? And there was a situation where it was my boss's boss. It was someone who had a direct line over my career.
Very powerful.
And so it was scary. What do I do? And what are going to be the ramifications and the repercussions of that? And fortunately, I was not the only one, and someone else came forward before I did. And so it was a matter where I didn't have to come forward on my own. There were other people who were coming forth, and together collectively, we could come out and make our case. Yes.
Great. Okay.
But it was scary.
Yeah, I bet it was. But as you said, fortunately, in a strange, funny way, the irony, but you could do it as a team, which shouldn't have to be the case, to be honest, but I'm sure there's many women still in these kind of situations that they feel afraid to speak the truth.
Yes. Afraid to live their truth, to speak their truth.
You could lose your job. You're going to lose this position. We will say this about you. You know, it's, you know, just be quiet.
Well, you know, and I had an added context that maybe other people don't have, me being a Black woman, the person who did this to me was a Black man. And so in this white male dominated company, he was one of the few who was making it up the ranks. And here I was faced with this thing. He was doing this thing that literally could take him down. And it's like, why are you putting me in this situation where now, and I don't want to say I hated myself, but I dislike being put in the position where I'm thinking about the impact on him as one of the few who is making it up the ranks. Why are you putting me in this situation? Mm-hmm. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There was almost like a strange a sympathy for him that you had, and also a frustration with him because of, this situation. I've got to ask, what happened?
He was removed from his role. And he was downgraded to, unfortunately, he did not leave the company right away. Mm-hmm. But within a year or so, there was maybe, quote, a forced retirement. Mm-hmm. But how many more are there like him? You know, exactly. I mean, I experienced other things that were not necessarily sexually related, mm-hmm. but would have also counted as harassment, verbal harassment. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember telling another manager, a white male manager, you are not going to talk to me like that. Like that was literally the conversation we had. Mm-hmm. He was the kind of person, he would leave his secretary, poor thing, in tears all the time. Mm-hmm. Just the way that he talked to people was so harsh, so judgmental. And I remember him saying something to me and, you know, I got the visualization of a shark, you know, going after prey in the water, you know? And unfortunately, you know, his secretary, she bleeds. And any, you know, you bleed, the shark comes in. You know, and literally you had to be someone who didn't bleed. So me standing up for myself and saying, I don't care who you are. I don't care if you are my manager. You are not going to talk to me that way. He never did it again. He mm-hmm. never talked to me that way again. It was like I had to stand up for myself and stop him for him to turn his attention elsewhere and to start treating me with a little respect. But why did it take that? You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And not everybody would be like you.
Yeah. Not everybody, you know, it takes a lot
strength,
of courage.
That confidence. Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yes. And you're so high energy that you could do that. However, do you think that the Me Too movement has changed things in the workplace quite considerably? I mean, I was only talking to my husband about this the other day, and I said, you know, years back when I was in a teaching position and someone in a position of power was very, you know, the things that he said to me were very, like, sexually charged, lots of innuendos. Now, if that was today, knowing what we know, I would have had maybe a place to stand from or at least to measure against. But then I had no idea. I just thought, it's just being what he is. He's just, you know, but it was uncomfortable.
Of course, it's uncomfortable. And I think a lot of it still takes place. Maybe it's gone underground a bit. Maybe it doesn't get reported as much. You know, there are a lot of things going on, but I think there, as long as we have a patriarchal society, which we do, we still have that. I think it's going to exist. It's there.
Yeah. Just need more voices, more people to speak up. Yeah.
Yes.
Just keep going.
Yes. And it's difficult to do. And I will say this, you know, there are a number of times I can think of a number of situations where I had to speak up for myself, but it was literally a matter of, I don't care if you do write my paychecks. I don't care if you do determine how far I go in the company. You sign off on my promotions. I don't care if I stay. You are not going to talk to me like that. I deserve to be treated with some respect, you know? And so it's literally you standing up for yourself, and I always say being able to look at yourself in the mirror every day and being able to sleep with yourself at night. And if you can't do those things, it's a problem. It's a problem and you need to make some changes in your life. And it may mean moving to another job. It may mean taking a different role in a different department. We cannot be so dependent upon one company, upon one paycheck that it literally puts us in a position where we have to put up with that. I think that is it's a catalyst and it lets us know that we need to be out there creating multiple streams of income so that we have options. We need to be shoring up our financial security so that if we need to come in one day and say, you know what, take this job and shove it. I do not have to put up with this, you know, that we can make that move. And that to me is true freedom. We talk a lot about freedom in today's world. To me, that's freedom. Being able to go in at any point and say, no, this isn't working for me anymore. And being able to walk away from who and what no longer serves you.
Yeah. And I guess, though, it's about having that, you know, plan B, because there are some people out there who seriously are terrified of losing their job. And particularly now in this present day of age, you know, there is the cost of living and everything's so expensive. And, you know, some is hand to mouth, but it's I think knowing that you have choices and knowing your own worth. But again, I think for some people, it's still not quite that easy. However, it is going on. I would suggest talking to somebody you trust and working out a plan or a strategy. You don't have to go it alone.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I had this conversation with someone the other day. She's a copywriting messaging coach. So I'm kind of working with her a little bit to learn some things and learn some of her tricks of the trade. And, you know, I was having this conversation about if people need help, why don't they reach out to get the help that they need? You know, if I know that I have a deficiency in some area or some area that I want to shore up, I want to see grow. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, I want to create multiple streams of income so that I have other options besides just a corporate job. Then if I see someone has that and they're doing well, I'm going to reach out and say, hey, girl,
I see you doing such and such.
How are you doing that? What did you use? Who was your coach? What book did you read? How did this happen for you? Yeah, I want to learn how to do this too. Like, I would take the initiative to make that happen. And she literally said, Sanja, that's not most people though. They are not going to take the initiative and reach out to somebody, to, even if it's to learn more, to better themselves, to improve their situation. And that just boggled my mind that people would not do that. They would not take the initiative to change their life for the better.
But that's a great point that you've made. You know, we can all sit there and struggle and look at other people and do the whole comparison thing. And, you know, well, I'm not doing it, and perhaps sit on our pity pot. But something stops us. I wonder if it's financial, or I wonder if people are just a bit afraid of saying, I need help.
I think for women, certainly, I've heard that many women are afraid to ask for help. And, you know, for various reasons, you know, maybe being perceived as weak. You know, you can't handle your life on your own. You need help. Maybe they've been disappointed in the past. They did ask for help and someone failed them. They didn't show up for them. They didn't come through for them. You know, there are many reasons, but, you know, we don't live in a vacuum in this world. You know, we were created to be connected, and, you know, we are stronger together, you know, and it doesn't necessarily mean, because, you know, I serve single child-free women, doesn't necessarily mean you have to be married or you have to have children. There is connectivity with friends. There's connectivity with mentors, with coaches, with people who are close enough that they could be your family in the absence of family, you know? So I think it's recognizing what I work with women on, which is the agency and the power that you have to change your own life, you know?
Well,
think
before
about
you,
how difficult. Okay, go ahead.
Before you go into that one, let's just see. Let's just go back a little. Now, you then decided that, you know, you weren't content in this corporate industry, were you? Where did this change come from? How did you realize that you were earning good money? You were successful. You were storming it, Sonia.
I was, and you know, I had a life that looked good from the outside. And how many people are like that, where they have a life that looks great from the outside? I made a six-figure salary. I worked for a top company that everybody recognizes. I had my own home. I drove my dream car. I traveled all the time. You know, I had it all, girl. I had it all.
Yeah.
And yet I was still like, is this it? Is this all there is to life? Is this the rest of my life? Still, I was unhappy. And what I was looking for was more purpose in my life. I was looking for more impact, more meaning, more significance. I wanted to use my gifts and skills, not just to make money, but to make a difference in the world, to change somebody's life, to create legacy, and to leave this world a better place than I found it.
And those were
all the things that were weighing on me, because at the time, I didn't know what my purpose was. I just knew that I wasn't living it and I wasn't walking in it, and I was feeling the weight of that. And, you know, we talked before about a Seth Godin quote that I love, which is, instead of always having to go on vacation, why don't you create a life you don't need to escape from? And that really hit me, because that's what I was doing. Although I love travel, I was using it as a form of escape, you know, but as soon as I came back, it's like, oh, I'm back to this again. When's my next vacation?
Yeah.
You know,
and that's what I think people find themselves doing. It's kind of just like the hamster wheel I talk about all the time, the rat race, the whole like, okay, well, let's go back and earn some more money for my next holiday. You know, and we just do it all again. And I must admit, I really did have a situation years back thinking, oh, is this it? is this what I'm going to do for the rest of my life? Really?
it hits you hard.
Either way for me, to be honest, it's all gone a little bit, like, you know, definitely not linear anyway, whatever you decide to do. But still, yeah, you had that crossroads, shall we say. What gave you, I guess, the courage then to go and pursue that? And did everyone around you think you were mad? Because let's face it, I'm sure you had your skeptics.
Yeah. No? Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, literally, you know, thinking about that quote and what it was saying, which is that you stop running away from your life. Mm-hmm. And there are many people out there who are running away from their life.
And that's not just for nice holidays, is it? We run towards quite often unhealthy mechanisms.
Yes, yeah. Unhealthy, because we're trying to escape, you know, exactly. We're trying to, and it was showing up, even in my dreams, it was showing up because I was always running. Mm. In my dreams, I was running.
And yeah, I would wake you said up sometimes. That. You mentioned that to me when we were preparation.
We talked previously.
Yeah.
Yes, I would literally wake up and I would be breathing hard and almost sweating like I had actually been running. Mm. And it, like, what are you running from? Because that's what it is. Your dreams are a reflection of your real life. And it meant that in real life, Sanja, you're running from something. What are you running from? Stop and figure out what is going on in your life so you can stop running away from it, both in real life with the travel, but also even in your dreams.
It's great, so, though, even then you were really aware of this means something. You know, it sparked that curiosity, because not all of us, in all honesty, will stop and say, oh, that means something, let's take some action. Or we might do, but it might take us quite some time.
Right. And look, you're right. Unfortunately for me, I had done a report on dreams back in college. Uh-huh. So I knew a little bit about dreams, and I knew that, you know, because what was happening was I would be, you know, kind of running. But then when the thing that this shadowy entity, which I think represented the company, was chasing me, when it seemed like it was almost ready to get me, I would take to the sky and fly away. And so what that meant is the power to fly meant that I still had some control over what was happening in my life and changing my life, because I had that power to get away from it. Mm. So literally translated into my real life, I had to recognize I have the power to change what I'm not happy about, you know, but it required me to sit in it. And that's something that a lot of women don't make time to do, to sit in what they don't like, what they're unhappy about, what is not serving them, and figure out what is going on here and how do I change it? Yeah.
That's a big point, to sit with it, to stop, pause. But there is so much going on. This is a little bit different, but I did ask my mum about, you know, when did she start the menopause the other day, as I know I'm in the zone. And she actually said, you know what? I'm not that sure, because everything at the time was so fast. She was looking after my nan. She was, you know, she was caring for two children. My dad often worked away. She had a full-time job. Her stress levels were huge. So it wasn't even if she felt anything, it was, I've just got to get on with this. And I think many of us are still juggling all those balls.
Yes.
And we're exhausted and it's tiring. But I think we feel that we've just got to keep going.
You know, sometimes there's a dose of tough love in the lesson for us. Mm-hmm. And one thing I always tell, because I come across a lot of women who obviously feel overwhelmed, you know, there's a lot on their plate, there's a lot going on. And I say, well, what did you agree to? What did you allow on your plate? Because no one can put anything on your plate unless you agree to it. You know, and that's always a bit of a shocker to women, you know, to people when they realize.
We said yes to everything.
We say yes to everything. You said yes to it. That's how it got on your plate. That's how you ended up being overwhelmed. You know, you agreed to it. So until we start recognizing again our agency and our power, until we start exercising healthy boundaries, until we learn how to say no and not feel guilty about it, until we start guarding our plate and determining really what we want to say yes to, we're going to be in those type of situations where we're literally always overwhelmed, and there's always things going on in our life, and we never have the time to sit still for a minute and really think about, What do we want from this one and only life that we get?
What do we really want? Yeah.
Do we want?
Well, yeah. How come then, so through that, and you thought something's got to change here, and you became a coach, coaching single child women. Tell me more about that.
You know, I didn't start off with that particular segment. You know, I started off with women, though. I always had an affinity for helping women, you know. And I tell people, women who are, you know, who are out there looking for, well, who is my audience? Who are my people? Who are my tribe? You are going to be naturally drawn to them. Mm. You know, if it was a women's issue, I was on my soapbox, you know. And, you know, whether it was posting on social media or talking to someone in a grocery store, like, I am on my box, you know. And so naturally, that was my audience.
I can't see that in you at all. No.
Yeah. And so, but you know, it can evolve. You know, things can evolve. And sometimes women don't allow things to evolve. You know, they look for perfection right off the bat. And this is a lesson here, you know, and sometimes things have to evolve and you find your way to your people. So I started off with women in general, but I found my way to my people who are actually just like me, single women who don't have children. And those are my people. And those are the ones that I talk to because, I have an affinity for them, you know. And so I found my way through that with my purpose and knowing my purpose. And, you know, you asked the earlier question, what gave me the courage to leave the company and to step out from this 6-figure job that everyone thought I was crazy to leave? Mm-hmm. It was knowing my divine assignment, knowing what I had been put on this earth to do and knowing the people that I had been put on this earth to serve and help. That was everything. Because I literally said, hey, company, I got to go. Mm. I have to go. I have work to do, not your work, but
my
work.
I can imagine that was such a really freeing thing for you to do. I'd love to have been a fly on the wall when you gave him the resignation letter, said, see ya, I'm out of here. I'm going to serve. I'm going on to pastures you. I'd have loved to have seen that.
Oh, it was crazy because I never thought I would leave in the manner in which I left, which was very suddenly. Like, I didn't give 2 weeks notice. I didn't even give two days notice. I literally said, typed it up by email, said, I'm out. Bye. You know, like, I've got to go. And, you know, because I felt like I had put up with some things long enough. You know, some of the stories I've shared with you are only a fraction of some of the things that I was going through as a woman in this organization, as a minority woman in this organization. Mm-hmm. And I had just had it. I was fed up with it. And so I wanted more freedom, you know, not just the things that we're looking for. Like, I wanted more financial freedom, not to have my salary capped, not for somebody else to tell me what I'm going to make. I wanted more time freedom, more location freedom, because I did want to travel more. I wanted to see more of the world. I wanted my time to be my own. I was tired of asking another adult for permission to live my own life. But I also wanted more what I call me freedom, more personality freedom. I wanted someone to stop telling me every year that you're too direct and you're too assertive and you need to tone yourself down. Mm-hmm. No, I just wanted to be free to be me, you know? And so I was ready. I was ready.
I'm just thinking about that, what you said there, you know, people telling you to tone down and people saying you're too loud. It's hard to comprehend, isn't it, that we allow people or we feel that we have to act and behave a certain way just for somebody else. Obviously, I'm not saying, you know, we're saying within reason here, you know, of course, but, you know, why can't you just be you? And that's
be accepted.
You were in a workplace, which there are many like this, that you have to all be the same almost.
Yes.
And that's really sad because it does dull the creativity. It does dull the personality. It does dull the spirit. I think that's why in a way you think, they work in a creative, like say maybe someone works for, I don't know, a media agency or something. And you imagine, I mean, I watched Jared Leto in The Work, WeWork, you know, he's got this great big lovely offices and this creative space and they have a slide and all of this, and then you put that, you imagine then a corporate or a very heavily business ran zone, and I think of Grey. So
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing that we have maybe, oh, well, you can be loud if you're in that industry, but you can't be you if you're in this one.
Well, and taking it even further than that, you can be loud if you're a man, but not if you're a woman. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was the performance review where I was told that I needed to master the art of being softer with the art of being assertive. And it really
even that's a mouthful.
Yeah. What does that mean? Well, yeah. And are you telling men to find their softer side you're telling me to do? Yeah. And I know that you aren't. So why are you telling me to do it?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. But here's the crazy part. I said, okay, maybe I can learn from someone else in our function, which was contracting and procurement, you know, a global function, who has done this better. Give me the name of a woman mentor who can mentor me in our function, who can show me how to do this well. They couldn't think of my manager couldn't think of one person who could help me do what he was telling me to do. You see what I'm saying?
I do. Yeah. Just doesn't crazy. Make sense, does
it's it? Crazy. It but doesn't that, make sense.
And that's probably another episode entirely with regards to, you know, the gender differences and gender expectation roles, you know, the way we're assigned certain roles just because of our sex. There you go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you work with single child women, and I've got to admit that now you do, so, you know, so I've got mm-hmm. to admit that when you first told me about this, I was unsure as to what that meant. Do you remember when I mm-hmm. said to you, does that mean, I don't know, they have no children? Does that mean they do have children? Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. yeah, tell us a little bit about that, please, Sonia.
So, you know, this is a growing audience. In fact, Morgan Stanley did a recent study where they said 45% of women between the ages of 25 and 44 will be single and child-free, meaning they will be not married with no children by the year 2030, which is only 7 years away.
Is that so globally that almost, or just like, is that the U.S.?
You know, I'd have to look at it to make sure, but either way, it's an impressive statistic in terms of, I mean, that is a lot of women who are making the choice
ages, between the ages, mm-hmm. sorry, of
between 25 and 44, which is prime ages for marrying and having children. And they are choosing not to, you
How
know,
can they forecast so, that? How do they know that?
Well, a lot of times they are talking to these women and they are looking at the trends. And so the trend is that it's been growing over the years. And if they extrapolate it and continues to grow, this is going to be a huge audience. It already is a huge audience. You know, if you look at think about children, even married couples, they're having fewer children.
Yeah,
they're not having the number of children that they used to have. Yeah. Okay. So whereas they may used to have 2.4 or 3.4 or whatever, now they may choose to have only one or none. Many married couples are saying, no thanks. We'll just get the dog or we'll just not have anything, you know? And so many single women are saying, you know what? I don't think children are for me either, you know? And some of them are delaying marriage until they find the right person. I was reading an article the other day and it was actually based out of the UK and it was saying more and more women are choosing to buy a home versus waiting until they get married to buy a home. Mm. They're moving on with life.
Yeah.
They're moving on with life. They are enjoying their lives.
Becoming more independent and wanting to become more financially independent and financially stable for themselves. I can definitely see that without question.
Yes.
I mean, I was a late more. Mom. Yeah, I was a late mom. You know, I didn't get married till, at 39, actually it was. Yeah.
Okay.
And I didn't have my son, I was 39 years old. And he's an only child, but a bit of that to do with age, but we know that we would have only have had one more, you know, but I did get to that point where I thought maybe I won't find the man, the one, I won't have children. And I know from even my clients and I know from speaking with people that there are many women out there now like that. Many.
Yes. Yes.
Some many have. Choice, but...
Yes, some not all through choice, yeah. Some through circumstances and things like that. But what is happening also with a lot of these women, you know, say you didn't get married until 39. Mm. Well, you had all this time to build a joyful and fulfilling life for yourself, you know? So you were not desperate for a man, you know, because you had a good life. And that's what these women are doing. They are creating good lives for themselves, which gives them, they're not desperate like maybe our moms and our grandmothers were, who were financially dependent upon men. You know, they basically left their dad's house and moved straight into their husband's house. It's not like that anymore.
Well,
and
these times women have changed as well, haven't they? With women,
times have changed.
There's a time, maybe even, let's say 60 years ago, women weren't expected to go out and work. Women were expected to, you know, run the household, look after the children, do the cooking, do the cleaning. Whereas now that's changed, and mm-hmm. women can do both, even though that's can be very difficult. Mm-hmm. There's a massive balance there, or women just choose to
there's a massive imbalance there.
Yeah, that's what I mean. You have to balance that one. That's got because and perhaps I guess that's why I put some women off. They think, you know what, I'm just going to do one or the other.
Well, you know, because what you're saying, the man would go off to work, the woman stayed home and mm-hmm. took care of the household and the kids. Okay, a lot of things changed financially in the world such that, okay, maybe now we need two incomes in mm-hmm. order to make it. So the woman goes out and gets a job too, but then she's still expected to come back home and still mm-hmm. take care of the home and the family. And, you know, many women are saying, wait a minute, hold on. How is this fair that I take on the lion's share of everything, including providing financially in the home? What part are you playing in this, husband? And so a lot of them are choosing to, you know what? This equation doesn't work for me. And they're opting out. They're saying, until I meet someone who gets it and we can actually be equitable, equal partners in our partnership, and we're doing this together, I'm just going to opt out. Because my life is good. I'm traveling. I have my money. I have my home. I have my car. I have my satisfying career.
So I'm just going to opt out. I have a question for you. If their life is so freeing and so mm-hmm. financially independent and they've got all this drive, mm-hmm. why do they need a coach? Mm-hmm. I'm playing devil's advocate. Yeah. Why
would they need a coach? Well, a lot of it is not even related to them. It's related to the fact that we still live in a patriarchal society. Mm-hmm. You know, just yesterday I was on social media and I saw a man post that any woman over 35 who is not married and doesn't have kids is not a choice that she made. Basically that she found herself in that type of situation.
Quite
something's wrong with her. Very much an assumption. And it really ticked me off, you know, and it's opinions like that made me launch the podcast, that made me want to become a voice for these women. Because the fact is, think about it. When you say, you know what? I can live a happy, fulfilling life without marriage and without children. Who is it that might not like that stance? Men, especially men still living in a patriarchal society, mm-hmm. you know? And so the fact is, a woman can be good with it on her own, but she's still getting these messages from society. Yeah. She's still getting these messages from men. She's still getting these messages in the workplace that are counter to her attempt to create a happy, fulfilling life for herself.
You know what, as well, men don't get this. I'm sorry, men, this isn't beating you up today because, you know, there's some great ones out there. But also in this sense, what we're talking about here is, you know, as a woman, say I got married at 39, you know what I get? Oh, aren't you having babies yet? Your time's running out, you know, clock's ticking. Does the man get that? Well, no, because obviously you can go on forever anyway. But I was reading an article yesterday. It was about a model. She's quite famous, but she was talking about her IVF journey and it's never happened for her. And she said it just really annoys her the way that anybody can come up to you and say, why haven't you given him children yet? You know, what's mm-hmm. up with you? You know, now mm-hmm. whether or not she wants children or not, it doesn't matter. It should be no one else's business.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And yet people feel free to ask you that all the time.
Yeah.
They feel free to ask, where are you going to get married? When are you going to have kids? Well, you only have one kid. We're going to have enough kid because they need to have a playmate. They need to have somebody else. You know, they insert themselves in your business. They insert themselves and ask questions that really have no impact on them, but you get it all over. Like, it could be even within your own family. It could be your own mom who, again, still has that mindset from traditional, from when she grew up. You know, it's this patriarchal society. It's you going in. It's things like you going into the office and somebody thinking that, oh, you can work late tonight because you're not married. You don't have kids. Oh, you don't need your holiday time around Christmas because you don't have anybody at home waiting on you. You don't have a family. You don't have kids. You can do this. You can work late. You know, it's the marginalization everywhere we go. You know, just last week, a friend of mine was complaining on Facebook. She went into a Korean barbecue restaurant and she couldn't get Korean barbecue because they don't do it for just one person. You have to be two or more. We live in a world that is built for families and couples, and you're here, a single woman, trying to thrive in your singlehood.
And that's for me is the sad part, because even if you don't want children, you want to be single, you want to be independent, society is sending you all these messages that this is a bad thing. No, you're doing it wrong. Right. Oh, no, there's something wrong with you. Oh, you're single? There's only one of you? Shock horror.
Mm-hmm.
So even if we don't doubt ourselves, then these little messages just seem to creep in and creep in and creep in. And then this once secure, confident woman is now starting to become a little bit smaller. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
Maybe there is something wrong with me. Oh, now I'm doubting myself. Oh, because of...
Exactly. Because the constant messaging, the barrage of messaging that is telling you, because let's face it, a woman is still judged by, you know, she could be the CEO of a multi-billion dollar company. Someone is still going to ask, well, where's your husband though? Where are your children? Yeah. Oh, you didn't have any? Now I see, you know, it was the job that was more important to you. It was the company that was more important to you. They start making all these assumptions and they have no idea. What if that woman can't have children?
What if
it's not a matter of choice, but a matter of circumstance, some type of medical condition, and she would love to have a child, only she's not able to? You don't know that when you're asking those very insensitive questions about, but when are you going to have children? Do you know that she hasn't already tried, that she hasn't done IVF 10 times, that she hasn't had 4 miscarriages? You don't know when you're making those assessments and judgments about her life and ultimately her worth as a woman, which you are attributing to 2 things only. Does she have a wedding ring and does she have a baby carriage?
But really? As you said, the whole point of this is, would you say that to a man?
Never, never. They would never say that to a man.
Wouldn't even be an issue. Wouldn't even come up, would it?
Yeah.
And that's what's still got to change. Totally. Yeah.
And so the thing is, too, as I work with single child-free women, you know, society tells them a lot of their purpose is rooted in being a wife and a mother, which is not true. We have a purpose aside from being someone's missus and someone's mama, you know? But if that's the message you keep hearing all the time, that keeps getting reinforced around you, you might say, okay, well, I'm not married and I don't have kids. Well, what is my purpose in life? Literally, I was reading an article about a TikTok influencer, and she was talking about her decision not to have children. And the comments, there was a man who told her, you have failed at life. Now imagine someone telling you that your whole life is a complete failure because you have failed to bring children into the world. That's a harsh thing for somebody to hear. You know, so the work that I do is meant to help women discover who they are. First of all, who are you really? Which actually anyone could use, because again, as we've talked about, so many people don't know who they really are because they're so busy in this world. They don't stop to figure out who they are. But then what is your purpose? Why are you really here? What is the work you're really meant to do? And to start really creating freedom in your life, not just time and location and financial freedom, but that personality freedom, that me freedom that allows you to step into a life of your own creation and be happy and fulfilled with your own choices, with living life and on your own terms.
It was a question that came up with a guest recently for the podcast. And the question was, you know, if I ask you or someone, you know, who are you? Like, what do you say? And I just, I find it fascinating. You know, someone says to me, but who are you, Sarah?
Who are you? Who are you?
Now, most of us go to our roles. Oh, I'm a mom, or I'm a podcaster.
I'm a sister.
I'm a wife. I'm a therapist. And I do this. Always outside of ourselves. Always a label, you know.
And in connection with relationships to other people, you know.
Yeah. So I do find that, I mean, I was listening to a podcast with Vex King. Have you heard of Vex King? He's a great therapist, and he does a lot of manifestation. But he was talking about, maybe if you speak to somebody who is very spiritual, they might say something of, oh, I am whole, or I am at one, or, you know, maybe that sense of being. But the question of who are you does often just go to our roles in life, yeah, and to relationships. So I think that that's a difficult one for people, because we don't really quite know how to answer it. Like, what do you mean, who am I? Well, I'm Sarah. Yeah, Blue Sarah. Well, I'm just Sarah. You know, get lost.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true. And, you know, because they don't know. Because everything has been, you know, unfortunately, women internalize this a lot more than men. Who somebody says they are, you know, their past, you know, that they take on their and assume the role of their past mistakes, their past failures. You know, I am my divorce.
That's a big
I
one.
Am my yeah. abortion. I am my whatever failure they've had in life, yeah. you know, what they view as a failure. You know, they take that on and personify that.
There was something I was reading about AA, you know, the other day. And obviously one of the first things that they ask you to do in the meetings is, I am an alcoholic. Well, you know, you've not drank anymore. You've not had a drink, or you've not, you know, whatever. But for the rest of your life, you are an alcoholic. And it's like, why does that have to stay as your, like, as part of you?
As your identity,
yeah,
you know?
Why do you have to still, so like, you know, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's it reminds me of, and I talked about this in a recent podcast that I did, my podcast.
Yes. What's it called? No Husband, No Children, Still Worthy. Is that the one?
Still Worthy. That's the one. No Husband,
Download
No Children,
now, folks.
Still Worthy, you know, and you know, that came to me just because, again, society defines a woman's worth so much in terms of her marriage and her family, you know, that, you know, they forget she, you know, you're a woman before, like, you're single and child free before you ever decide to get married and have children. So we're all single and child free at some point, you know, in our life. And, but literally, yes, who are you, you know, and what is going to be your story in life, you know? And so I was talking in my podcast, even women who have had difficulty having children, maybe, you know, you couldn't have children, maybe, you know, some medical condition or some genetic condition or what have you. But, you know, I went to a Tony Robbins convention, you know, he's a master motivator and life coach. He's coached a lot of celebrities. And I was at a live event that he did several years ago. Mm-hmm. And there was a woman in the audience who was talking to him, and she was talking about just a life full of abuse and trauma and, you know, different things she had experienced from a young age up until adulthood. And after she finished this sad story that had her crying, it had me in tears, and probably most of the people in the audience of over 9,000 people in tears and just deathly quiet, he said, you know, that's tragic. Everything that has happened to you is tragic. But how long are you going to keep telling that same sad story? You know? And you could almost hear, like, you know, audible gasps in the auditorium as people are like, you know, but I knew what Tony was saying.
I knew what he was getting at. Yeah.
And he was like, yes, everything that has happened to you, everything that has happened to all of us in our past, there are some sad moments, there are some tragic moments, there are some trauma-filled moments, but is that going to be the thing that defines us? Is that going to be the story of our life? Are we going to see that message on our epitaph? Here lies, you know, X, she died
there
from...
is-
Why?
I was watching, funny you should bring that up, because I was only watching the Netflix program the other day, you know, I'm Not Your Guru. And he said there, you know, about his own past, it was very painful for him. You know, he suffered abuse, emotional, physical abuse. But his point was, is that he can forgive because he's thankful for how it's made him and how it shaped him and what he can do today. And I was only talking about this actually with a client the other day about the fact that when we talk about forgiveness in your past, you know, these things that are perhaps the negative still really holding you there, you know, the blame, and you can't judge anyone for doing that, being like that. But then perhaps we can see it, as Tony kind of suggests, in a different perspective, a different lens. Can we reframe that and say, well, actually, perhaps that was meant to happen for me to make me me, and what I can do with that now?
Right.
And this, you know, client wants to go on into a job of serving, you know, somebody and helping somebody else.
Which, well, she did. You know, she came back up later and she was a different woman. It was like a 180 degree. And she was smiling and talking about the work that she now does, which is to help women. You know, she's a divorce counselor for women who are getting out of abusive relationships and situations like she used to be in. And I think those type of situations where someone has experienced some type of pain or trauma in their life is a perfect example. Because how many times have you seen a TV segment or read an article where someone has some awful disease, or they got burned, or they had cancer, or they were sexually assaulted in the worst way, or, you know, they experienced something very traumatic, and someone asked them, you know, if you could go back in time and you could change this thing and take this thing away, would you do that? And they say, no, because if I could, I wouldn't be where I am today. I wouldn't be doing the work that I'm doing today. I wouldn't be helping the people that I'm helping today if it wasn't for that thing.
And this podcast is called Bouncing Back Stronger. So this is exactly what we're talking about. Those stories of where I've been, you know, people have been so, just so down and out, so bleak. Everything, the future looks so weary for them, looked non-existent for them, but they found this strength and they carried on and they are where they are, which I just think is remarkable. And then what they do is perhaps they don't go into a position where they're serving somebody else. They might go into, you know, something else. But the fact is that they offer hope to those around them. Well, it's that idea of, and that mentality, you know, well, if you can do it, surely I can. Come on then. And that's what we need in a world like today.
We need that.
Yeah.
Well, we have to have it, you know, and when you think about it, that was the whole Me Too movement was based on that. You know, lots of women, millions of women were going through the thing, but until someone stood up, someone had the courage to say, this thing happened to me. And then people started, me too. Mm-hmm. That happened to me too. A whole movement came out of one person having the courage to say, this thing happened to me. And so I think that's how it is with many, many conditions and situations in life where people are fearful of coming out because they think, I'm the only one. I'm the only one going through this. I'm the only one who fell for that. I'm the only one who made this mistake, who made this awful choice, who was stupid enough, quote unquote, to fall for this or whatever. They think they're the only one and they beat themselves up about it. They berate themselves. When in reality, there are probably hundreds of thousands of other people out there who are going through the exact same thing, but you will never know that if you never have the courage to stand up and tell your story. And then you're going to see how many other people are going to be like, yeah, me too. That's my story too.
You mentioned earlier when we first began our conversation about working with women, and you've always, you know, felt, obviously you're a woman and have that affinity towards with other women, and they're your tribe. And I think we can condense tribe even a little bit more and say you can also have tribes in your area of perhaps, not to be bleak, but you're suffering, you know. So just like the lady that you said, you know, now works with women who've suffered relationships or abuse or breakdown or divorce, there's a tribe. You know, I work with women who, and some men, but who are dealing with binge drinking or binge eating, binging basically on the deeper roots, the emotional level, but there's a tribe. So you've got like little pockets of tribes everywhere, but it's about saying, look, me too. That's happened to me. How can I help you? And we've all got an individual story. We've all got unique stories. No two stories are exactly the same, but we've all got very similar, like, very similar behaviors, yeah, or very similar, yeah, things that have happened, you know, oh yes, that happened to me, or oh, did you do this? So I just, mm-hmm, think it's wonderful. Yes, speak out, but know you're not alone. Know there are people. Right. Even you said earlier, why don't people ask for help? Perhaps if you ask for more help, more and
you
more
find out you're not alone.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Wonderful. And you know, but you know, and I think it's also important because, again, I work with women on discovering their divine purpose, and you know, there's that yearning when you really want to know your purpose. You recognize that your life is bigger than your own, and you want to help people beyond your own life. You're like, yes, I want to make money, but I also want to make a difference and an impact in the world. I want to change somebody else's life. I want to use my gifts and talents to make someone else's life better, you know? Yeah. And so when you have that type of mentality and that type of perspective, and you know someone else is out there going through what you are going through, and that they would benefit from your knowledge, from knowing your story, from knowing the things that helped you to get through to the other side, mm-hmm, where you can now look back on that and it's in your past, but for them, it's their current reality. Like, how can you not help?
Yeah.
How can you not offer a hand, some advice, some encouragement, some tips, some tools, you know? And that is the essence of purpose-driven work. So
in relation to that, something came up for me the other day where I was talking about how, oh, I don't know, I'm not sure whether to pop that on social media. You know, I was having one of those moments. Oh, da, 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 da. And then my coach said to me, he said, well, who's this for? You or that person who is like you, who is sitting there, say 3 a.m. in the morning, not wondering what to do, feeling desperate, feeling there's nothing out there. What are you going to do now? And I was like, post it.
Yeah.
As soon as you, yeah, get off your own, perhaps, ego, mm-hmm, pedestal, whatever we want to call it, and realize, yep, that you're there, you, that's your whole point of you doing what you do is because you want to help somebody else. So what are you even thinking for? Just do it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I always tell people, I can tell when you're in your ego and you're not, you know, the lens is on yourself instead, mm-hmm, of on other people, where it should be if you're really serious about purpose-driven work, because you start to ask questions like, well, what are they going to say? What is everybody, yeah, going to think? Yeah. What if I don't make it? What if I fail? What if I make a mistake? What if they don't show up? What if nobody watches the live video? What if it, you know, it's all, but it's all self-centered, you know, yeah, it's all around you and the results that you get and the things that you're feeling. And it's like, hey, wait a minute, I thought you wanted to do purpose-driven work. I thought, mm-hmm, you wanted to help other, mm-hmm, people. I thought you wanted to change the world. Mm-hmm. Why is the focus always on you then, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's one of my coaching clients, and we laugh about this all the time, because I worked with her a few years ago, and we're still Facebook friends and everything. Yeah. And she came to me one time during our coaching session, and she said, well, but what if I do this and people don't like me? And I'm like, girl, people probably don't like you now.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's probably somebody,
absolutely,
who doesn't like you right now.
Yeah, it is. It's true, isn't it? People probably don't like you that much anyway. So why are you stopping yourself from doing this one?
Exactly.
I get it. Yeah. Oh, well, okay, Tonya, it's been an absolute joy. Before you go, what's out of all of that we spoke about today, and there's so much that listeners will take away with them, what is one thing that you would like them to really take with them, one golden nugget?
Recognize that you have not just the power to change your life, but the agency to change your life. Like, it is on you. The responsibility, the accountability, everything is on you to change your life. You have everything you need, but, mm-hmm, you have to take the initiative to start to make those changes.
Yeah, definitely.
It's on you. Hey, hey, yeah. And that's what I tell them. It's on you.
Yeah. I couldn't agree with you more. It's, your mind is your responsibility. Change is your responsibility. You can go and see coaches, you can go and see therapists, but unless you are committed to the change, nothing's going to happen.
Yes, nothing. Your happiness is your responsibility. Everything is your responsibility.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. So we'll catch,
thank you for
you
having me,
on No Husband, No Children, Still Worthy podcast. I will pop all your links in the show notes so that our listeners may be able to, may get in touch with you. Okay.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. You take care now.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Thank you for joining me on this episode of Bounce It Back Stronger. I hope you've taken lots from this today, either for you or for somebody else. If you'd like to come on the show, you have a personal story, or perhaps you're an expert in a particular field, then please get in touch. You may even wish to work with me on all things linked to changing your beliefs and your behaviours. You'll find all my links in the show notes. I look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time. Thank you.